No wonder I heard the preacher say he's what? He's an on-time God. Listen, he mightn't come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. Am I right about that? We serve an on-time God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of his message, Pastor Brian Grant drew on the tragic legacy of slavery and, in particular, the devastation slavery brought upon the black family that left many in an enduring state of hopelessness. Using as an example his own family background, Pastor Grant showed how, regardless of bad family background, there is hope in Jesus. Like David, despised people can become God's champions. Please listen now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, God's Champions. Here again is Pastor Grant.
I'm tired of looking at television and seeing all these people puffing up themselves and telling you all how important and how impressive they are. But listen, God is looking for people who are not trying to get you to point the finger at them. Listen, the objective is that God gets the glory, amen? It's all about Jesus, amen? Oh, my young friend, when God turns your life around, don't come up here strutting. Don't come up here with your big fat head. When God turns your life around and makes you into one of his champions, make sure all the glory goes to Jesus. God often uses those who are despised to become his champions. Thank God for turning my dad around. But listen, God helps his champions. Write this down as your second point. God helps his champions to overcome adversity. What are you dealing with in your life? What is it that has gone wrong? Some of you say, Pastor, you know, I went to jail for something I didn't do. Some of you said they arrested me. What is the adversity? At our activity a week or so ago, some of those kids have been very affected, impacted by violence in the city of Philadelphia. What adversity? It could be because of violence. It could be because you have some terrible parents. Whatever the adversity you're facing, I just want you to know that when God touches your life, when you come to him and he touches you and starts transforming you, he is able to help you overcome adversity, because God helps his champions overcome adversity. So in our text, David had been running from King Saul. You remember he had been running. And why? He had been successful running. But here we suddenly get to a point in our text where David is surrounded. You heard the reading. David was surrounded. In fact, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 23. And let me just pick up at verse number 24. Verse 21. Saul said, blessed are you. The Ziphites told Saul where David was. And Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. This murdering man, he's talking about compassion. You have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure. See the places where his hideout is and who has seen him there. For I'm told he is very crafty. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me. Check out every hideout he has, and come and tell me. And if he's in the land, I'm going to do a real thorough search. Verse number 24. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, therefore, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. Listen, David had been running. Hold your finger there. Listen, David, they had been running. And after years of escaping from Saul, Saul's army now had him encircled. There was nowhere to run and there was nowhere to hide. So guess what David did? Turn, hold your finger there, and you're going to Psalm 54. And you're going to go to, we're going to go to Psalm 54, because as you will see in a moment, Psalm 54 expresses David's thoughts at the very moment he was being encircled. Psalm 54, notice how the psalm, what it says, just above the verse, it says, a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? This psalm is actually telling you David's thoughts as Saul encircled him. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Strangers have risen up against me. Oppressors have sought my life. They have not set God before me. Then, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. Hold that. Hold up. Put one finger there, as our brother would say, because we're still coming back to Psalm 54 in just a minute. But you see what David did? He was encircled. And what did he? He prayed. You know, over 25 years ago, my wife and I were facing a very difficult situation that had us very worried. It's interesting, as I was preparing this message, the Lord brought this situation to my mind, but I couldn't remember what the situation was. The solution was what God wanted me to talk to you about. The solution. My wife, we were so stressed out. We were so stressed out. The children, everybody realized we were stressed out. And something happened that night that has never happened since. When we went up to bed, there was a very nicely, a 3x5 card that, on which were written some beautiful words. It was so beautifully done. Psalm 56, verse 3. And here is what was written. You can look at the psalm later. But Psalm 56, 3. Here is what was written on the 3x5 card that was left for my wife and I. It simply said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. What a powerful lesson that was. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust. I tell you, our faith rose. And so we don't even remember what the situation was. We remember the trusting. Amen. Oh, I'm sure there's somebody listening this morning. You're facing a situation. You're facing adversity. You're fearful because of stuff that's happened in your life. And this morning, God wants to encourage you from this verse that was left for Cheryl and I. He wants to encourage you. Listen, whenever you are afraid, perhaps you need somebody to write that card for you. In fact, when you go home, why don't you get your own 3x5 card and you write it for yourself? Amen. Probably write more than one. Put two or three times and scatter them around the house so that you can be encouraged just like David prayed. Hallelujah. Because we all go through. Some folks go on like they never go through drama. Tuesday night, we're going to have testimony time. Please don't come here and testify that you've never gone through challenge. because we may haul you off. Amen. Part of the growth process, say, is for us to go through trouble. Young people, you're going to go through some trouble. But hold on to that verse. Whenever I am afraid, I can trust him. So what happened in the story? All right. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Do you have it in front of you? 1 Samuel chapter 23. We're picking up at verse number 27. A messenger came to Saul saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore, Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and went in strongholds at Engedi. David is surrounded. He has nowhere to turn. And God intervened. And God allowed the Philistines. No wonder I heard the preacher say, he's what? He's an on-time God. Listen, he mightn't come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. Am I right about that? We serve an on-time God. Bless his holy name. Oh, they call that place the Rock of Escape. I'm so glad, you know, the song says, we're standing on the rock of Christ. Thank God we can stand on the rock. Well, hallelujah, praise his name, the Rock of Escape. Before we move on, write this down. The Christian life is not a trouble-free life, but God will always provide a way to keep us from falling. Amen. The Christian life is not a trouble-free life. In fact, if you never had no trouble, you wouldn't grow very much. Or I could go on a message about that. The Christian life is not a trouble-free life, but God will always provide a way to keep us from falling. Charles Albert Tindley knew about adversity. For in 1851, he was born into slavery. Things quickly went from bad to worse because by the time Albert Charles Tindley was 5 years old, both of his parents were dead. Just imagine, in slavery with no parents and you're 5 years old. But thank God, God helped his champions to overcome adversity. In his late teens, God somehow helped Albert Tindley to survive, and in his late teens. By the way, this is the gentleman we'll hear. I won't say everything about him, but it's interesting to know this is the gentleman who wrote the song that was eventually adapted to "We Shall Overcome." Yes. So when he was eventually in his teens, came to Philadelphia and got a job as janitor of Calvary Methodist Church. He was never in his life able to go to school. But since he felt God's call on his life, he was determined to get biblical training. So how did he get it? God led him to a synagogue here in Philadelphia, and he asked for help. And someone in this Jewish synagogue helped him to learn Hebrew. Can you imagine that? And he enrolled, little by little, people would help him with his reading. And so he enrolled in a correspondence course and learned Greek. And this man who never went to school, just imagine when this was. This was just shortly after the abolition of slavery. This man was able to read the Bible in its original languages. He could read Hebrew and Greek. This man became so fluent and so knowledgeable in the scriptures that the church eventually ordained him, but they wanted to make sure they kept him in a little section, in the bushes somewhere where there were a lot of other former slaves. But little by little, God made a way for him. And in 1902, at age 51, he was appointed pastor of Calvary Methodist Church in Philadelphia, the same church where he had served as janitor 30 years earlier. Listen, this man became a powerful preacher, and the church grew to become one of the largest churches in the country. Can you imagine this black preacher having a church with somewhere between 7,000 and 10,000 members that many years ago? And listen to this, from all ethnic groups. This church made history because this was the church first predominantly black church that was allowed under some protest to actually build a building on a major street in Philadelphia when this church was actually built on Broad Street here in Philadelphia. And for those of you who want to, you can still go and visit the church that has now been renamed Tindley Temple here on Broad Street, Philadelphia. This man was born into great adversity, but God had helped him overcome adversity and had grown him to become a mighty champion. And I'm here to tell you, my brother and my sister, my friend, my young person, the same God who helped this man, Charles Tindley, to become a mighty champion is willing to do the same for you. God has no favorites. And God is willing to use you and to turn you into one of his great champions. The question is, are you going to be like Charles Tindley, who is determined to live a life of commitment and sacrifice and faithfulness to God? A man who is not going to allow others to make him quit. Oh, part of our problem, if I was to add one of the problems as to why we're still struggling, is because sometimes we allow others to cause us to quit. Oh, that's why we need a church. That's why we need to gather and encourage each other, because when you feel like quitting, some of us can encourage you. Don't quit, keep running. Because God is with you, young person. God is with you. Make sure you follow him and you commit to him and you're determined to serve him. Praise his name. Listen, what have we said so far? God often uses despised people to become his champions. Secondly, God helps his champions to overcome adversity. And third and finally, God's champions will always triumph in him. God's champions, you may have to change a word in your notes. God's champions will always triumph in him. So back we are as we try to land this plane. We're back to Psalm 54, and I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. David says, as he is faced with the greatest adversity, because so far he'd been getting away. Now he's in his greatest adversity. He's encircled. He says, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble. And my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. David triumphed in God, for he realized it was God who had delivered him out of all trouble. And oh, I know perhaps you could testify this morning of the goodness of God and some of the trouble he has delivered you from. As I was preparing the message, what came to my mind was when I was down there in Trenchtown, Jamaica, ministering in the toughest part of the country. And I was held up at gunpoint trying to teach the kids Sunday school. And I looked down the barrel of that gun, wondering if I'd make it home. But God delivered me. Amen. Thank God for his deliverance. But the most important deliverance that God has provided was procured on the cross. John 3:16 to me is still the most precious verse in the Bible. For that verse reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died for all the sins every one of us have ever committed. He is able to deliver us. Listen, no matter what you have done, Jesus is able to deliver you from your sin. He's able to set you free, and he's able to turn you into one of his champions. You can't become one of his champions until the sin problem is dealt with. But thank God Jesus died on the cross for our sin. I was only 9 years old when I invited the Lord Jesus to cleanse me of all my sin and to come into my life. And God heard my prayer, and he saved me, and he delivered me from all my sin. And I want to ask you that's here, I want to ask those of you who are listening and watching, can you actually point to a day when God delivered you from all your sin? Well, I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church, but I'm asking you, young person, can you honestly say that you can remember a day when God delivered you? I'm not even asking you if you said a prayer, the sinner's prayer, because you can say the sinner's prayer and not be delivered from your sin because you said something, but nothing happened in your heart. I'm talking about, are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that your sins have been delivered because from your heart you repented of your sin, turned from sin, and invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord? Listen, if you haven't done that, you need to do that right now. Because that's where it begins. That's where the journey begins. That's when you become a champion that God is going to use to grow and to develop and to achieve his purposes in your life. You know, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the fans in Philly went crazy shouting, "Oh, we won, we won, we won." Some, it was so crazy, some people called their friends in, you know, which team we hate the most? The Dallas Cowboys. Some folks, sorry, my dear, sorry, we really, be quiet if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. You got to be quiet in this church. When Tony Evans comes, you can shout then. But right now, people went crazy about we won. But interestingly, none of us were on the field. None of us got tackled. None of us even threw a pass. So how did we win? We won by identification. For since we identify with the Eagles, when the Eagles win, we win. And my friend, when we come to Christ, we get a new identity. Amen. For even if we thought of ourselves as losers, we become God's champions. For when Jesus died, we died with him. When he arose, we arose with him. And since he champions sin, death, and the grave, he has made us more than conquerors. I am one of God's champions. The journey started when I was 9. And every day he's strengthening, little by little, Jesus is changing me. But listen, my friend, have you started that journey? Are you sure that you're sure that you're one of God's champions? Are you sure? Young man, young little boy, do you belong to him? God wants you to be a champion. Perhaps you're a Christian, but you're half-stepping. You better start growing. Turn back to him. Keep walking with him. Let him grow you. Let him build you. Let him use you. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.